All right, so the title of the talk is National Toxic Substance Incidence Program Data Revealed Trends in Chemical Exposure During a Lifespan. As required, I would like to say that I have no personal financial relationship or with any commercial interests relevant to this presentation in the last 12 months or ever. And let me tell you a little bit about the surveillance program in New York State. We have been collecting data on chemical spills and releases since 1993, first through the Hazardous Substance Emergency Event Surveillance Program through 2009, and then through the National Toxic Substance Incidence Program, or NTSIP, since 2010. And basically, HESIS was absorbed into NTSIP when the program was expanded to include two other portions. One is data collection at the national level, and the other is a response capability that ATSDR and CDC have to go to large chemical spills when they are invited by the state. You can learn about that more from me after the presentation if you're interested. The goal of these programs is to prevent morbidity and mortality through educational interventions designed in response to trends or emerging problems identified by analyzing the incident data. So basically, we look to see what are the data showing to us, where do we see something where we can make a difference, how can we prevent these events from happening, and more importantly, also the injuries. Give you an example, the data that we collect on each event, it's a 72-question survey form, and we collect information, of course, on the date and the location, which gives us geocoding capability, the type of incident, whether it's fixed facility or transportation, chemical name, and sometimes we have the UPAC name, the International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry, and the CAS number, but sometimes we just know that it's a chlorinated compound or that it's one of the phosphoric acids, but we try as much as we can identify the chemical precisely. We're interested in the causes and contributing factors. Victim category, we have four categories that we look at: employees, responders, general public, and students. We also collect their age. For employees, responders, we collect information on their personal protective equipment. Injuries and medical treatment of each victim as much as possible. Public health action if there's a road closure and evacuation. That's really important because sometimes hazmat teams or people who are at the county level and trying to apply for a budget are interested in knowing how many events did we have, what were the consequences of these in terms of public health action or evacuation, so they can plan for resources, plan for their budgeting. The events that I will specifically cover in today's data are over 10,600 events. 73% of them were at fixed facilities, 27% were at transportation. The chemicals released were over 14,500, so that you can see that some of them are multiple chemical events. 12.3% had injuries, and we find over the years that this is a typical percentage. It runs sometimes 11%, sometimes a high 12%, but it stays pretty constant. And then over 4,500 people injured, one-third of them employees, 11.3% responders, 43.5% general public, and 11.8% students. And if a youngster is at school when the event happens, they are classified as a student. If they're with their family at some other activity, it's a general public. Events with ordered evacuation, 17%, again important for planning purposes. People evacuated over 96,300, and this is a minimal number because often from an on-scene commander we know that there were at least this many evacuated, but then there were also self-evacuation. So we only know, we only put down the number that we can verify, and we know that it's something more than that. And then people decontaminated 4,700 in this 10-year period. When we started to look at the data, this was a very novel interpretation for us because we had always in the past looked at the acid events or at the mercury events or at the events that injured responders, and we had outreaches to all the schools in New York State from 2005, 2006 on mercury events to reduce those. And we had an outreach to the firefighters in New York State through the New York State Fire Academy and the New York State Association of Fire Chiefs. So we were always targeting a group. But here, because of the overall title of this APHA conference, we wanted to work with the lifespan approach to see what were we going to find. So we created the age groups that are in the first column: preschoolers less than 5 years old, children and teens 5 through 19, young adults 20 to 44, mature adults 45 to 64, and senior adults greater than 64. I'll ask you to look at the last column, where you'll see that the largest number are young adults, 50% fall into the young adult category. And then going to the top of that column, 4.3% were preschoolers, 22% were children and teens, about an equal number, 20% were mature adults, and then 2.9% were senior adults. And if we look at the columns with the gender classification, female and male, in the preschoolers, slightly more female, in the children and teens, slightly more female, and then as we get into the young adults, it's more male, and then the categories are almost equal for mature adults and not much different for senior adults. So just a side gender analysis. When we took a look at the victim categories for preschoolers, most of them were injured as general public. Children's and teens, they were mostly injured as students, although general public was also a high category. For young adults, primarily injured as employees, with also general public 514, and for mature adults, very equal between employee and general public, and then senior adults, obviously most likely not being in the employee sector anymore, so injured as general public. Now, these are the most frequently reported health effects. I'll go through this quickly, but you can see that less than 5 years of age, central nervous system symptoms, GI problems, and respiratory irritation. I should say that for every single victim, we can collect as many as 7 different health effects. For 5 through 19, headache, GI problems, respiratory irritation, 20 to 44, respiratory irritation, central nervous system symptoms, and headache. 45 to 65, respiratory irritation, central nervous system symptoms, headache, and then 64, we had trauma, CNS, and respiratory irritation. And if you'll take a look at that, there are the one repeating health effect that occurs in every category is respiratory irritation, so that was the most common. When we look at medical treatment, we have the opportunity to collect information that people were treated and admitted, TA, treated and released, TR, or treated on the scene, so they did not require transport to the hospital. And we also have deaths at the very bottom category. So not to go through each of these separately, although if you're interested, I can certainly provide you all this data. I realize I'm putting out a lot of information, but the idea is to show you the scope of what we collect and give you the opportunity to connect with me if you want to know more about any of the specifics. So treated and released was the highest response in all medical treatments for all categories. And then in the oldest category, we also had eight deaths. Now, this is the next 5 slides are all going to be very similar for each of the 5 age groups, and it's chemical exposures and incident causes. I would appreciate if you would focus on the lower right pie chart first, and you'll see that those are the causes. We have human error as primary, equipment failure, deliberate action, illegal action, and for a few of these, there will be a 5th category called weather. But pie chart really pretty much stays the same. The size of the pies segments changes, but the distribution of the causes and their order does not change, except that sometimes there is the 5th weather. If you look at the left-hand pie chart, that's where the information really lies. If we look at the preschoolers and the chemicals that affected most of them, it's carbon monoxide for 2/3, pepper spray 12%, pesticides 11%, and then a smaller number of events, acid, sodium hydroxide, and other. So going to the second slide of this type, you don't need to focus on the lower right pie chart. You can look at the left. Carbon monoxide again, pepper spray, VOCs. So we'll look at the top 3 chemicals for each age category. This is children and teens. Young adults, carbon monoxide, reactive mixtures, and pepper spray. Mature adults, carbon monoxide, reactive mixtures, and pesticides. Senior adults, more than 65 years of age, carbon monoxide, reactive mixtures, and hydrochloric acid. So I've just tossed a lot of information at you in the form of a pie chart, and so how do we distill all this information? So we wanted to give you something that would be an easy takeaway home message. The most frequent chemical exposures during the lifespan are presented by this slide. Carbon monoxide is number 1. In the 2 young categories, less than 5 and 5 to 19, pepper spray and reactive mixtures. And then for the 3rd most common chemical, pesticides, volatile organic compounds, pepper spray, pesticides, and hydrochloric acid. So this to me was a surprise. I did not expect carbon monoxide to have such a significant impact across the lifespan. It's actually very good information because it means that we can take an approach to try and reduce this, to eliminate this. It's not that you can eliminate carbon monoxide exposures from happening, but you can warn the people through the use of carbon monoxide detectors, and that's something that we in New York State are really trying to make happen, that people are aware that the carbon monoxide detectors are essential. And something that I learned just a year ago, your smoke detectors last for about 10 years, depending upon the manufacturer. Your carbon monoxide detectors need to be replaced in about 5 years. So if you take a look at the back of the carbon monoxide detector, you'll find out when it needs to be replaced. And when I found that out, I checked mine, and I have three, and one was out of date already. So it's good to know that they don't last as good as smoke detectors. So I'll go through the results rather quickly. The age group most frequently injured from hazardous substance releases in our data were the young adults, with females 44% and 54.7% of males. The most frequently reported health effects varied by age group, but respiratory effects were most commonly reported for all of them, young and mature adults, and third most commonly for all the others. Most frequent medical outcome was treated and released. Based on our data, the chemical that affects people most frequently over their lifespan is carbon monoxide, and then the second chemical most frequently affecting people was pepper spray through 19 years of age, and reactive mixtures if older than 19 years. The causative factor most frequently reported for chemical incidents was human error, 42 to 68%, depending upon the age group. This indicates that education and training can be used to reduce these events. And the second causative factor was equipment failure, 24 to 36%. Again, maintenance and repair will help there. This is my contact information, and I would just like to say that I'm aware that our data are limited in the sense that there are chemical exposures that we do not collect information about, but this is the snapshot of what is happening in New York State, and this is the chemical most frequently seen in our data. And I thank you very much for your attention.